Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Charles Davis does a hell of a job with NFL Network. Charles, Joe, and Evan, hopefully you are keeping yourself safe during this weird time indeed. How are you, Charles?
Hi, Charles. I'm doing well. Hey, guys, it's good to talk with you again. So far, so good. Fortunate family, fortunate friends. I hope the same for you and yours and your loved ones and everyone who can hear our voices. I know there's a lot of people out there battling right now, and send my best wishes their way.
We appreciate it.
No question, Charles.
And, you know, the NFL is serving as a nice distraction for all of us. We had the free agency, the Brady decision. Now we got Brady talking to Howard Stern, and we have the draft in a couple of weeks. How different is this draft going to be and feel? It's going to be basically like a fantasy draft. You know, everybody's going to be in their homes, GMs and whatnot. But how different is this draft going to feel, Charles?
Well, it should set records in a lot of ways, even though it won't look anything like what we've seen and how the draft has evolved over the last 10, 15 years over television, right? Where we've added more elements, obviously, more yakkers like me, you know, and all those things that go with it and all the specialty things that go along. You know how we've gotten to day three where the teams handle the picks and they get all creative and, you know, the car pulls up in Winslow, Arizona, and the Cardinals make their pick and, you know, things of that nature. That's probably out the window. Not probably, it's out the window, right? This will feel a lot more like, and can't you just feel like Paul Brown and Vince Lombardi and that crew kind of staring down going, that's how the draft used to be. You call it in and tell them who you're taking and you keep it going, you know? That's going to be more of the feel, I would guess. I'm hearing that a lot about, you know, ESPN is going to be driving a lot of that just because of they're still open, you know, how NFL Network will be involved, I think, is being determined. But I guarantee it's going to be a lot less people that will be involved that way. But it should set records for this reason. It's hard to go to work nowadays, right? A lot of people, unfortunately, can't go to work. We're all confined mostly to our homes. 3 straight days of watching the draft, and you're not taking the kids to Little League, you're not doing this and that. The people will be watching, and as you said, looking for that diversion, looking for that distraction, looking for something that feels a lot better than what we're having to deal with day in and day out.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, free agency is still going on because it's still a lot of guys, Charles, that have not signed anywhere. I mean, you look at some of these, especially the quarterbacks. You know, you got Jameis Winston out there. You got Cam out there yet. You got Dalton. Clowney hasn't signed. I mean, you got a lot of guys that still haven't signed. How do you think all that is going to play out?
Well, I think a lot of it will be determined by the draft itself, because not only have we had a lot of guys that haven't signed thus far and we're eager to see where they end up, you still have guys who have agreed to terms with teams, but already haven't we seen some of those are not going to come to fruition?
Right,
Either physical or something broke down.
Right.
So we've already seen that. I mean, you know, we thought the Ravens had added Michael Brockers to Calais Campbell, et cetera. That's not going to happen. So all those things, the draft is going to make some determinations on some of those free agent signings as well. So when we see how the draft falls, then we may see the next wave of some of these free agents being signed. Plus, I think Jadeveon Clowney would have been signed already, but his asking price was too big.
Right.
Well, and now he continues to bring it down. But at this stage, teams are like, okay, let's see what we do drafting, and then we can probably get an even better price as time goes on.
Let me ask you about Jadeveon Clowney, because he obviously came into the league with a ton of hype, and he's been a good player. I'm not going to say he certainly hasn't been a bust, that's for sure. but how do you view him? Is he an impact player? Is he worth $18 million a year? Because you mentioned his asking price is coming down. I think teams still want it to come down even more. But how do you view Jadeveon Clowney?
Well, I agree with you. I think teams want it to come down significantly because what you said about him, I believe, is spot on. But there's a word that we have to add in there. And the reason he's not $18 million and people haven't just fallen all over themselves for it, and that's consistency. Whether it's him being dinged up or just when you look at it across the board, am I going to pay $18 million for a guy who hasn't gotten a double digits yet in the sack department? When you look at him, you think double digits. Number one pick in the draft, right? You thought we were going to string together multiple years of double digit sacks. I think his best year has been 9.5. And look, I understand sacks aren't everything. But we talk about this all the time, about who gets paid, who makes the money. Well, take a good look out there at those guys and whether or not they fulfilled it. We keep saying, well, the ball goes out of the quarterback's hands quicker. This happens, that happens. Von Miller's still a double-digit sack guy, right? He still finds a way to get it done. You know, Myles Garrett, despite the trouble that he created for himself last year, were we not thinking this is going to be a double-digit sack guy? How about the Bosas? We can go right on down the line. You're going to want to pay for those kind of numbers to wreck things. But when he's at his best, we think we're going to get that. Consistency being on the field, we haven't seen it. Because think about that Monday night game last year against San Francisco. Was he not just amazing that night? And we all just went, oh, my God. Right? That's the Jadeveon Clowney. Well, he didn't play every single game after that. He had an injury. He had some other things. And I'm not hitting him and dinging him for it. But $18 million a year, you expect some durability.
Well, would you, just to follow up on that, I give you a guy who is a double-digit sack guy, or at least he's done it once in his career and he's available, and that's Yannick Ngakoue, though you have to trade for him. How do you view Yannick in comparison to Clowney? Obviously, there's another layer to Yannick because you got to give up something significant to get him, but he is a little bit younger, he has hit double-digit sacks, and he's been durable.
Yeah, and I think that that plays in his favor because if we were doing this and it was a draft, Clowney would win over him all game, all day long, because in the draft you're drafting off of potential and guys on the come, right?
Right.
When you're now looking at it down the road, what have we gotten? What's been the latest? Well, Ngakoue in the latest incarnation, latest iteration, he's been the guy, and you're expecting more of that. With Clowney, you still continue to have the questions about it, and then I think that that's where Ngakoue now kind of has an advantage. Now, you'll have some people at certain teams, you know, scouts never forget their loves and their crushes, okay? So they'll go in and go, we got a chance to get Clowney. Let me tell you, this kid, I scouted him, and he was this and he was that. Depends on the GM, depends on the sway. But if I'm Ngakoue, I think I'm feeling like I'm in a pretty good position right now. Although, as you said, the trade will have to happen. And again, I think that'll either take place during the draft or immediately thereafter.
You know, a lot of people think that Belichick's going to go with Jarrett Stidham as his quarterback this year. Now, I don't know if I buy that. Maybe they'll draft a quarterback. I don't know what he's going to do. Maybe he'll sign one of these guys like a Winston or a Dalton. I don't know. But what do you think about it? Do you buy Jarrett Stidham as a starting quarterback for New England this year?
I'd make him earn it. Now, Bill Belichick could very well say, look, I've had him in camp for an entire year. I know what he is, and he's earned it for me. But I'd still make him earn it, okay? I liked him coming out of college. I didn't love him coming out of college, so I'm not going to go revisionist history here. But the thing that always crawls into the back of my head was the year that Brady got hurt, season opener at Kansas City, Bernard Pollard. Did they not go 11-5?
Matt Castle.
So I'm not saying it's apples to apples. Teams are different. That was a good team. And, boy, what a fluke that was. They didn't even make the playoffs at 11-5, right?
So
that just tells you it was a weird year. I think that there will be more competition. They signed Brian Hoyer for insurance because Brian knows their system and they know that they can kind of lean on him and depend on him. But I'd be really surprised if they don't add a quarterback or two for some type of competition in there, although their history has not been to draft one early. And they'll have a chance at 24 this year. And they're very well may be one of those quarterbacks available, whether it's Justin Herbert or Jordan Love, even though there's a chance they could obviously go in a big run early too.
Talking to Charles Davis, one thing that hasn't changed, even during these weird times, is the misdirection you're going to get before the NFL draft. And all of a sudden it's floated out there, you know, maybe the Dolphins like Justin Herbert more than they do Tua. Oh, maybe this team thinks this, this thinks that. We try to separate the BS from the truth. For you, how do you view Tua? We know about the hip injury. Obviously, it's a different lead up to the draft. He isn't able to be examined nearly as much and looked at. But right now, where is Tua taken, and how do you view Tua?
I think he's the second quarterback off the board. I think that, again, all of your points are so valid because you can't get your own doctors in to spend that time with him, right? So he had the medical check at the combine, which they all go through. That came back extremely positive. Now he's had a recheck in Nashville where he's been training by the doctor there. So you're able to do it there, but all the other doctors can't get there, right? All the other teams can't get there to do their own thing. And we also know that over time, they're not always correct. The Dolphins and their history, and they'll always have to deal with it, right? And we don't know about Drew Brees and that shoulder. I'd sign Dante Culpepper. It's not an exact science, although it's as close as you're going to get, right? But that was their determination. They ended up getting it wrong. In this case, I think everyone has a little bit of leeway in drafting because there's no way we can get it, you know, as close as we normally do. I think Tua looks very healthy. The checks have come back good. I don't think there was any Zapruder film or anything doctored with the film we saw him working out in Tuscaloosa, you know, in Nashville. I like him as the second quarterback in this draft, and I wouldn't pass him up for another quarterback.
Mm. So you like Tua. You're not concerned. Forget even the injury aspect of Tua. Because, you know, you look at these guys from Alabama, and, you know, especially a quarterback in that situation, they were so good. You know, you'd watch his receivers run wide open all over the place. You know, does that concern you at all?
It's
that
a legitimate kind of thing? Yeah, it's a legitimate concern because one of the things you come back with Alabama kid is they were the superior team 9.9 times out of 10 in every game they played in college.
Right.
Okay? So he's also throwing to maybe the number one receiver in Jerry Jeudy, maybe the number two receiver in Henry Ruggs.
Right.
So when you put it all together, sure. Oh, yeah, by the way, he's got at least one offensive lineman who'll go in the first round, maybe another one that'll go later on in the draft. So they're always loaded. So, yeah, it's a legitimate concern. But when I'm talking about his skill set, his ability to throw with accuracy, and when we say accuracy, it's not completion percentage. Tim Tebow, and this is not me trying to slam Tim, because I think he's one of the most fascinating stories that we've had, and it would have been fun to see him get another opportunity to lead an NFL team to see if it would have worked. But his throwing percentage in college was close to 65%, if I'm not mistaken. But in the NFL, accuracy means, am I putting it on the proper shoulder so he stays up and runs? Do I stop him before the safety takes his head off across the middle? That's accuracy. That's different than just throwing to an open receiver and he catches the football. Tua has that. I mean, he truly has it. He has good mobility, good movement in and out of the pocket. I'm not saying he's the greatest runner, but he's not a horrible one. But I just wouldn't run him on a lot of zone reads, especially since he's been dinged up along the way. And if you've seen him throw the deep ball, it's pretty. All right? He puts it where it's supposed to be. I like this kid a lot for all of those reasons. I think your concerns are legitimate, no doubt about it. But Deshaun Watson came out of a dominant program at Clemson. Right. He's done okay. I just go off of that, and I don't let that past history of Alabama quarterbacks get in the way on this one. I think he's different.
Well, one thing, and we're talking to Charles Davis, and I want to jump in here with a couple things I want to throw at you. First of all, Deshaun Watson, to me, you know, showed that against this great defense 2 years in a row in Alabama, against Alabama, even though they lost one of those games, that he could put a lot of points on the board against what was an all-world defensive football team. So, you know, there's that aspect of him. But I want to go back to Tebow for a second.
Yep.
Why do you think Tebow never got – he had that 1 year with Denver. You know, he wins the playoff game. He had overtime game against Pittsburgh, Demaryius Thomas and all of that. Why was that it for him? Were teams scared of him? Were they scared of him? Was there no coach out there that was at the that felt he could tailor his system to him? Why?
You guys remember that when he took over that Denver team that was struggling and they turned it over to him and he led them to the playoff march, right?
Yep.
A lot of single wing type stuff. They adapted the offense for him. I think Adam Gase was the coordinator. And so they adapted it to him. As a general rule, you're not going to run into very many NFL coaches, especially at that time, that are going to say, this is a consistent way to win. All right. I don't know what you guys take for heartburn or agita. All right. But those coaches would have been choking that down like crazy, because if you remember, tell me if I'm wrong here, what was Tim Tebow's stat line through the first three quarters of just about every game in the NFL? 5 of 17.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
no, it wasn't good.
Yard.
I understand it.
But down the stretch, was the kid not nails when the game was on?
He
the
made
line?
Big.
He, was.
He made
he
big
did.
Plays.
He made monster yeah. plays.
With his
he
legs, too, obviously.
Plays. Legs, arm, all those things. I used to laugh all the time. I'd say he'd be 5 of 17, and then on the drive you needed, bam, 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 4 or 5, you're in the end zone, touchdown, Tebow did it again. It's a hard way to live, though. It's a hard way to go, because that means your defense has got to be good and keep you in every ball game. You're not likely to be in shootout games because he's not as accurate as you need to be, so you're going to miss some possessions. You're putting a lot of pressure on other aspects of the team, and so I think it was hard for coaches to say, this is the guy that I want. Because remember, playoff game, big throw to Demaryius Thomas against Pittsburgh. The very next week they get blown out, I believe it was by New England.
Yeah, well, oh yeah.
Yep,
you
no
know,
doubt.
That's no embarrassment. New England was blown out a lot of people. But people were struggling with that. Elway was much more comfortable. And here comes Peyton. And now you're setting records again. You're going to Super Bowls. All those things work for you. I just think Tim Tebow's a hard way to go for people because of that accuracy aspect of it. Everything else, who wouldn't want that around? Who wouldn't want that in their locker room? But it's not good in your locker room if he's not the starter, because you guys know what it's like after a ball game or during a season. The guys who are playing, hey, great job, Bobby. Great job, Johnny. Where's Tebow? And yeah. Played it down, and we're at his locker, and we're talking to him. Players can tell you what they want. Their egos get involved as well. Hold on a second. He's not even playing. Why are we going to him for comment? And it gets to be a bit of an issue. So I felt bad for that. I really wanted to see him get one more shot with someone who was all the way committed. And the crazy part now is, don't you think, guys, that if Tim Tebow came along in today's NFL,
he'd
get a longer look.
No question. Yeah,
no doubt about it.
No question.
He was ahead of his time.
Because he's one of the great college quarterbacks of all time. There's no question about it.
Of all time, one of the great college quarterbacks, yep. Great winners.
Yep.
I remember someone, I got into a fight with someone once because they're like, God, I'm sick of hearing about Tim Tebow and great Tim, great this. I was like, okay, so you want to hear about the guys who shot up the liquor store the other day? You want to hear about the guys doing it wrong out there? What's wrong with doing it right? I've never understood why we get all upset with that. Plus, this kid is tough as nails, and his team wins a lot of ball games.
And Charles, he's still playing minor league baseball with the Mets whenever they resume.
It's amazing.
Somebody was giving me something about that. Like, I think it was last year. Like, how come Tebow is playing baseball? You know he's only playing because he's Tim Tebow. And I said, hold on a second. Let me just ask you a quick question. Here are our lives right now. Somebody called and said, hey, you want to go to spring training with the Mets? How fast would we be on that plane?
That part we would do, but you know what, Charles, I wouldn't do? Is go on bus rides and play, you know, triple-A baseball before that double-A baseball, which he's done for years now.
You got to give him credit for that.
That tells you something else about him.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not just for the publicity, because the publicity wanes pretty quickly after the season opener in spring training. Now you're doing all the, you know, the grunt work like everyone else. The kid likes to play, and here's a chance to still be a kid, even though he's an adult, to still live out something that maybe the most of the rest of us don't get to do. Look, I read the Walter Mitty story when I was in school. Who among us didn't want to be Walter Mitty? Okay, right. In our minds, everything was great. I want to be Tim Tebow. I want to have a chance to do all those sorts of things and put my time in with my foundation and try and make the world a better place. Can you tell I'm a fan of his? But I wouldn't have been a fan of his as my starting quarterback in the NFL. That I would have struggled with, okay, especially if I'm going to play the game and he's not going to carry the ball 15 times again.
I think we're talking to Charles Davis, I think the giant debate that fans are having right now has kind of been simplified to this. Do you want to take the best offensive lineman available, which will probably be the pick of the litter, or do you want a versatile defender like Isaiah Simmons? Which side are you on if you're the Giants?
I've been on both of them by my first two mock drafts, guys. my first mock draft, I gave him offensive tackle, and it was Mekhi Becton from Louisville.
Right.
Because I went with the GM, Coach Dave Gettleman, who I say this all the time so there's no hidden bias. when I was in high school, my high school team played against Coach Gettleman's high school team twice. So I've known him since I was a 16-year-old kid. And he's told me consistently over time, one of his great statements, he always says to me, Charles, don't ever forget this. It's always going to be a big man's game. Well, there's no bigger guy at tackle than Mekhi Becton. All right? So that's why I put him there. Now, could it be Tristan Wirfs? Of course. Could it be Jedrick Wills? Could it be Andrew Thomas? Any of them fit. But on the defensive side, if Isaiah Simmons is sitting there and he becomes your ultimate chess piece to move all around and make defense better, that's going to be hard to turn down, because if there's one thing I do know, having grown up in mid-state New York, in New Paltz, New York, Giants fans love defense first. The lore of the Giants franchise starts on defense and ends on defense. They chanted defense at Yankee Stadium, at the Polo Ground. This is about what the DNA of a franchise is. And defensive guys, we weren't around during the heyday in the 50s and the 60s, right? But from everything I've been told, the defensive guys get the best tables at Tootsie Shores.
Charles, okay? I was around, so right away, Charles.
So that's,
Joe,
that's
hold on.
About
hey,
what,
Charles.
That's what they're about.
Charles, I saw the 61, 62, and 63 Giants, so I was around for that. I saw Sam Huff, I saw Andy Robustelli, I saw Erich Barnes, and Jimmy Patton, and Dick Lynch, and Dick Modjeleski, and all of those guys, yes.
Right, so am I right about
no,
that?
No, you are. Defense, no, you're 100%.
Defense is in the DNA of Giants. You're 100%. Fans all the way through. So if they picked Isaiah Simmons, it actually makes a lot of sense. The debate is going to be, I spent draft capital on that quarterback last year at 6, and everyone told me I was crazy, and it turned out I got a pretty darn good player if he holds on to the football. I've got to make sure I protect him. That's what it's going to come down to.
Now, we're talking to Charles Davis. Okay, so now I saw your mock draft, okay?
Yep.
And you know I'm a Jet fan, and I wasn't happy with your mock draft because you got them taking the kid Jerry Jeudy from Alabama,
yep.
Okay?
Right.
Now, I don't know how I feel about that. First of all, as a Jet fan, I want an offensive tackle. Okay,
you notice I ran out of tackles for you.
You did run out. I mean, you know, it's funny. You don't have the first. I'm looking at your mock draft the other day, and you don't have a tackle going until like the 8th pick. But then you got them all going before the Jets.
I put them on a hell of a run.
Right, and then you got the Jets taking Jerry Jeudy. Now I got to tell you this: a lot of people think the other guy is better, Ruggs. I've heard that too.
Right.
There are guys that think that.
That is out there.
Here's my problem with, and this should not factor in at all, okay?
Yep.
But outside of Joe Namath, when the Jets at Marty Lyons, I'll give you him, when the Jets have picked guys from Alabama, it really hasn't been great. Richard Todd comes to mind.
You're not down with Richard Todd?
Richard Todd, who nobody found the open linebacker better. And then recently, Dean Milner, and then our most recent number one pick, the soon-to-be immortal Quinnen Williams, everybody loved, wake me up when he becomes, Joe Green, okay? So well, I am concerned about Alabama. I'm concerned about Alabama.
Just don't go to the airport with Q. That's all.
Don't worry. I won't do that. Don't worry.
Look, I get where you're coming from. I absolutely do. And in a lot of ways, I think in my first mock draft, I did give you the offensive tackle. So I'm with you on that one. I'm not sure what happened to the fourth. I think what happened with the fourth, did I give it to the Chargers early, or did I?
All I know is all of a sudden you got them all going. You got Wirfs going. You got the guy from another Alabama guy. That guy too. You got another Alabama guy as a tackle. Another one of them guys.
Jedrick Wills, a big old strong kid out of Alabama. So I get where you're coming from because of that history. And believe me, there's some people who buy into that big time. I know a Super Bowl winning coach who told me one time, when my scouts came in and told me about a player from this school, and he named the school, I said, forget it. I don't want to hear about him, don't want to know about him. I don't care how highly rated he is. And that was despite the fact that on his roster, he had a guy from that school that later became a Hall of Famer. But overall, he hated that school and didn't think that he produced great players. So I get where you're coming from on that one.
Well, where Joe and I differ on this is that I'm dreaming of that Hall of Fame wide receiver. I'm dreaming of that big time, Julio Jones like wide receiver.
Who went to Alabama.
That's why I said.
But the Jets didn't take him.
No, I know. Trust me. I understand. But the reason I bring up Julio Jones is the Alabama connection, though there is no connection to the Jets. That's what I want. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you see that in Ruggs? Do you see that in Jerry Jeudy? I don't want just best receiver available. If I'm using a first-round pick on a receiver, and this is the argument I use to Joe, I only want to do it if I'm getting a guy who's going to be a top-five receiver in the league. That's when, to me, I'd say, you know what? It's worth it. Are either of those guys that, in your opinion?
I'll answer the question this way, and I think it's going to. I think it's an answer. It's not me. It's not a dodge. Ready?
Yes.
Julio Jones, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs. Julio Jones is higher rated for me coming out of college.
All right, that's an answer.
So what I'm saying is, if you're saying top five in the league, immediately get this, because Julio adapted pretty quickly.
Sure.
Okay. I think it was year two. They went to the NFC Championship game after everybody was ready to run Thomas Dimitroff out of town from going from, what, 26 up to 7 or whatever it was.
Yeah, he was a big – a lot of guys involved in that trade for Julio Jones.
A lot happened, and he gave up a lot of capital, but he went for it, and they got within 10 yards of the of the Super Bowl. I just think that he was significantly better coming out than these guys because of body type, build, you know, just right. that physical well, presence that he has. And I think these guys are very good players, but I wouldn't put them in that category, despite the fact Ruggs can outrun all of us.
It's tough to judge. I mean, to be fair, like I watch, you know, Alabama's one of those schools we watch a lot of for obvious reasons.
They're on, all the time.
Yeah, so even Julio Jones back in the day, you know, we watched him. And they had some great players on that team, especially, you know, Greg McElroy may have not turned into a great NFL quarterback, but he was the quarterback. So It's tough to judge.
And they ran the heck out of the football. They didn't throw it a ton of time. And what people may have forgotten about Julio's senior year, he played half of it with a broken hand.
Wow.
And played through it. And by the way, at the combine, I believe you guys can go back and check and see if I'm right. I think he ran 4.37, 4.38, somewhere in that neighborhood in the 40.
Mm.
He had a stress fracture in his foot when he ran it.
Wow,
that's crazy.
There's a different toughness about Quintoris Julio Jones.
Yeah, I want him. That's who I want in the draft.
That's who we all want.
Yes.
Ferreting that out and discovering that to be true is always the toughest part about drafting. And this year, it's going to be a little bit tougher because everyone wasn't able to get all of their homework done because, unfortunately, we're battling coronavirus.
Mm. Charles, how difficult is it going to be for guys like Joe Judge coming in when you're not going to have these OTAs? I mean, a brand new coaching staff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to set people back, I would think, a little bit, right?
It will, because you're not able to spend that extra time, right? Sift through your players. You know how in a pregame on a game day, you always see the coach going down and dapping up the guys and shaking hands and all the other stuff. You're doing that on a daily basis. If you're a good football coach, you're doing that in practice, right? You're doing it in the meeting halls. 2 seconds here. How's it going, big boy? What are you doing? How's this? How's that? Hey, by the way, I think you guys give me a little bit more. He's not able to build that. So you know what he's going to need? Whoever those leaders are that are going to drive your team, they're going to have to buy into Joe Judge fast and spread that through the team. And Joe Judge, I think, is smart enough to, and I'm not giving him any advice. My guess is that Joe Judge is going to get with those guys and get his message to them and see if they will carry the water for him a little bit. Because if that's the case, that'll help break that curve down a little bit that he's got to go through. Because I met him. I got to meet Joe at the combine. I was really impressed by him. I see what people were seeing and where he's coming from. And if he gets those guys early that are going to do it, you know, the Saquons and the Daniel Joneses and those guys, I think he's got a pretty good chance. And I have a feeling those two are the type to buy into the head coach pretty quickly. Mm.
Charles, always great talking to you. Stay safe, and
indeed,
hopefully
Charles.
We talk again soon.
Yeah, indeed. You guys do the same. Please stay safe, and everyone can hear our voices out there. And those who are battling, I hope they recover quickly.
Charles, we'll get you on after the draft, and we can argue if the Jets take Jerry Jeudy, okay?
Hey, no problem at all. You know, we got to do that, and then we got to go through the year, and hopefully he'll produce. Right?
He better.
Hey, he better be tremendous if they take him in the first round, I can tell you that.
I'll do one more mock draft, and I'm going to figure out a way to not give you an Alabama guy and see what you think of that.
See what you can do, will you?
You got it.
Thanks, all right. Charles.
Be well, Charles.
Charles Davis on the NFL draft a couple of weeks away.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.